Hey there, it's Melissa Brunetti, and welcome to the Mind Your Own Karma podcast.
Hey there, Karma crew. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Mind Your Own Karma, The Adoption Chronicles. I want to ask you a question. Have you tried traditional medicine and therapies without benefit? You know, I have been in the medical field for over 30 years doing ultrasound and increasingly seeing patients that have multiple tests, have spent tons of money and time trying to find what is causing the disease in their body that they're feeling, only to go back to their doctor and their doctor says, "I got nothing. I don't know." That can be so frustrating. I have been there. And even as an adoptee, talk therapy. As an adoptee for myself, that has helped me tremendously in the past. And it's very helpful, but I still had some roots that were still down beneath the surface that needed to be taken care of. It just wasn't the whole combination to my healing process. So today, I just want to ask you, why not be curious about other more holistic modalities if you still feel like there's something there beneath the surface like I did? Well, let me introduce you to Dr. Orr. Dr. Orr entered the world of energy medicine at 18 as she was searching for ways to release her excessive fears and phobias. After studying and fine-tuning her skills, and at the same time becoming an unofficial adoptive mama herself, she opened her private practice as an energy intuitive. With a specialty in recognizing and correcting energy patterns, Dr. Orr has helped struggling adult adoptees, as well as adoptive moms, in listening to their inner knowing as they search to fill an unknown void. With a PhD in natural medicine, Dr. Orr practices quantum medicine work with clients one-on-one, in group settings and workshops, from distant healing to guiding clients to do their own energy work and get to know their biological truths. She does this by teaching, speaking, sharing, and allowing her clients the space to explore their own knowing and purpose. Get ready to open your mind and be curious about how your energy pattern may be affecting you and your health and what you can do about it. Here is my interview with Dr. Orr. So we are welcoming Dr. Orr to the show today. Hi, Dr. Orr.
Hi, thank you for having me, Melissa.
Yeah, so I love talking about alternative healing methods and how those methods help adoptees and even those affected by adoption in any way. They've just shown to be super effective. And I always say, my guests and people that listen always hear me say that I think everybody has kind of a unique healing combination, and you just kind of have to figure out what that combination is. And sometimes it involves traditional medicine as well as, you know, holistic or alternative stuff. But, you know, I feel like traditional medicine is more of, you know, take this pill and so you don't feel what's going on inside, you know, instead of dealing with the root problem, it's still there, you know. And for adoptees, you know, since our trauma is pre-verbal and we don't have that fight or flight because we can't, that energy goes somewhere, you know. It doesn't just dissolve into thin air. It goes somewhere and that gets stored in our bodies and, you know, can cause a lot of problems down the road. You know, they might be helpful at the time, but later down the road when you get to be an adult and you're still running those, you know, scenarios in your mind, it's not very helpful. Those are just some of my thoughts about that. But let's talk about what you've experienced and what's helped you and how what you do can help adoptees and Constellation members with their healing process. So I just wanted to ask, you said that you became curious about energy medicine at the age of 18. What is energy medicine? Because I think some people probably don't know what energy medicine is. And why did you become interested in doing that?
Okay, so first of all, energy medicine is looking, it's kind of what you've mentioned already, it's looking at physical issues through the whole human experience of who we are. So the layers of, we have an energetic body, we have a mental body, we have a supramental body, we have a bliss body, right? There's these layers, and a physical body, of course, but the layers of who we are so specific. And so when we just go to a a Western medicine doctor or practitioner, they're only looking at the physical.
Yeah.
And so in energy medicine, we're looking at the entire picture of who you are through all those different bodies. And we're seeing where things might be a little bit off, which gives us an understanding of, oh, you're having stomach problems all the time. There is actually something going on in your, could be your emotions. It could be that you're suffering, grief. It could be in your subconscious, right? So it could be something you don't even know affected you. And for adoptees, that is a very common thing, right? And it could be something that happened in utero. It could be, right? So like in energy medicine, we look at that in like that whole picture of being. And then the way it's worked is, you also mentioned this, it's through a variety of modalities. And there are different modalities that work for different people, right? So it could be more visual, like imagery work. It could be that a person needs the physical touch. It could be acupressure, holding acupressure points on your body to release certain emotions or traumas that are stored in the body. It could be meditation. There's a variety of things that connect into what energy medicine is and what the different modalities are.
How did you get interested in energy medicine?
So I was experiencing a lot of phobias that felt very debilitating in my everyday life. In sleep especially, I couldn't sleep alone or in quiet or in the dark. So I would run the TV, I would have the lights on, and it was kind of a problem because I lived alone. and I was living in New York, and I was having a lot of a really hard time being out, like on the subway and commuting. I felt like I was going to get attacked, like somebody's going to attack me. And so I met this woman who, she was my boyfriend's mom, actually. And so she took me in, and she dove me into this, to energy work, which I never had any, I didn't know anything about. She just kind of went, okay, let's try this thing. Like, do this, hold this point, feel this feeling. And I was like, what are we doing? and while I was like, what are we doing? It also really resonated with me. Like, I could feel an immediate connection to it. I could feel an immediate connection to myself and my experiences that I didn't have words for. And as someone who had a hard time articulating what I was feeling, feelings were really big. Have always been really big for me, a really big part of my experience of who I am, right? I could be very connected to my feelings, but I couldn't express what those feelings were. And so to have some tools of going in and feeling my feelings and learning how to process them and feel where they're stored in my body and know that they are coming. Some of those feelings didn't even belong to me, right? They're like generational. They're generational, not even within my physical bloodline, but within my my religion, my culture, right? My environment. And so working through those things, it was an incredible transformation of within probably weeks of, oh, I can turn off the TV while I'm sleeping. I can turn off the light while I'm sleeping. I can sit on the train and not have any, fears. I can talk to people and feel very much more comfortable in my environment. And that took me down. Like, once I experienced that, then I was like, okay, this is incredible. And then I started learning and deep diving into all these different aspects. And that woman became my mentor for about 6.5 years. From there it evolved into my practice.
So you said, while you were discussing that you felt a connection to yourself. Define yourself. What did you mean by that?
So that's a good question, right? What is the self, where we talk about, like, have a conversation with yourself, or my relationship with myself, or self-love. We talk about that all the time, right? But it's just us, right? It's us. So it's the layers of getting, I think it's getting quiet and letting go of the outside sounds and hearing what our environment says, or what we see in our environment, and hearing our own truth, our own knowing. I work a lot with archetypes. That was one of the first modality that I connected to. And so that is a part of who I am, right? Like all these kind of different personalities, right? Different aspects of myself. So connecting to the child in me, connecting to the mother in me, connecting to the rebel in me, right? Like connecting to the different aspects of my being.
So kind of your authentic self or your pure essence or something like that.
Yeah, your spirit,
Yeah, whatever you
your
call that.
soul essence. Yeah.
So what was it about these unconventional or non-traditional, healing modalities that you felt worked for you? What were some of the changes maybe that you saw? You said you were able to move in the world a little bit easier. What else did you notice?
What else did I notice? I noticed that it gave me a language that I really connected to. I think as an empath and someone who's very sensitive, and my experience with other people who are very sensitive, we don't relate so well to the world. And I know for adoptees too, it's like there is, you don't know who to connect to, right? Like that's part of the challenge. And so this takes us out of the physical realm that we try so much to connect to because we think we should. And it takes us to this place where we connect to spirit, we connect to this space where to the divine, right? Like where we all come from, and this unit of equality and belonging, like for me personally, belonging was huge, right? Like, I mean, that was one of my core wounds, is feeling like I don't belong. And wherever I was, right, in my family, of my immediate family of origin, my married family, my friendship groups, right? And that's a pattern that so many people can relate to, especially in this world. And finding my own, connecting to my own essence helped me then feel that belonging, feel that groundedness in, I do belong. I do have a space here. There is a place for me.
I think that's key is looking inside instead of outside. And that's what we always do is look outside for that belonging, but it has to start, like you said, with inside yourself. So let's talk about your practice. Like, so out of this energy work that you did, on your own and, the personal benefits that you gained, you grew this practice. And so tell us about what you do.
So I mostly work with women, and I work on discovering what the physical is actually translating and trying to communicate with us, right? So if we're having physical issues, pains, ailments, diseases, what is the energy behind it? What is our body trying to kind of propel us towards? And ask, what is it asking us
Yeah, our
for?
bodies communicate with us, whether we listen or not is
All the
another.
time. Yes, whether we listen or not is a question. Yeah, so I help people listen. I help people, like, okay, let's listen in. And sometimes it's easy to translate, and sometimes it's a little more complicated. But that first part, that first step of listening in is huge, because we don't really want to listen.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was saying in the
Doesn't
beginning is
particularly
traditional medicine tries
entail.
to kind of quiet that what it's trying to tell you.
Take a pill.
Yeah. Let's just
put a band-aid on it. Let's ignore it and move on.
So what role would you say traditional medicine has, if any, when working with you? Does traditional medicine have a place?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's important when it comes to things that are, you know, you have a broken arm, you have to go get a cast, right? Like, you have cancer, you need to go in for treatment, right? I'm not against treatment whatsoever. This work is in addition and preliminary, right? So it needs to be, it's almost like a lifestyle, right? Because or a preliminary to going in for those treatments. It's discovering what caused it. So there is the idea of downwardization. So our consciousness is creating our reality. So if there's already our consciousness has already created something that's come into physical manifestation, like a broken leg or a tumor or period problems or infertility, it's already here. So the work is in finding what that subconscious pattern, that energy pattern that created it is, right? Where it came from. Sometimes we need to know that, sometimes we don't. But hearing that, what is that belief that we're holding? And then working with that belief, right? Kind of untwisting it and doubting it, sometimes questioning it, and coming up with a new one, right? Reconditioning ourselves to believing in something that is true for us and true in its divine frequency. And then bringing that in. And then sometimes there is a quick, instantaneous healing. I've seen that happen. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but the body does heal itself, right? We generate healing. So sometimes it just, you know, it happens over time, the recovery. And sometimes it's, okay, now I can go in to a Western doctor and it's going to be effective. What they do is going to help me because I've worked on the core of the problem, the root, like you said, the root cause of why this is even happening. Yeah.
And that's the other thing I think traditional medicine has taught us, to get that quick fix. And so we expect it when, you know, like you said, some of this stuff could even be from the womb. And so how many layers have you built around that to kind of protect, you know, that belief over the years? And so when working with you or I, in what we do, sometimes it comes off in layers, and it can feel so gentle, and you don't feel that huge shift a lot of times. So you think it's not working until you check in and you notice, oh yeah, I don't have that period problem anymore, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, oh yeah, it just happens so naturally that you don't even notice it sometimes. So you do work with women.
And it's nice when you're working with someone and they can remind you and then go, oh, you know that a month ago when you brought this up, this was not easy for you. And now you're just talking about it like, oh, da-dee-da.
It's crazy. So you mentioned that you work with women, and on your website I was looking, and you work with, you know, PMS or cycle problems, infertility. Tell us about that. How do you tap into that energy? I'm trying to figure out, how do you read people's energy? Like, how does this work?
Yes.
Okay. So tell
us. Yes. Yeah. So I read people's energy. I tap into wherever I need to. And then I muscle test, and I can sense it. I can feel it and sometimes see it. I don't really see colors or auras, but I can see it if I'm going in and deliberately looking. And our reproductive system, that is the energy of who we are as women, and our uterus holds immense power. And so working with women there, they really find their truth there. They, and in the, I mean, in our culture, there's so much around that that is just like shut down, yeah. shut down. Take birth control, shut it down. Right? Like, don't go there. Don't connect to that. And as females, that's mm-hmm. who we are. It's a huge part of who we are. So, yeah, that's it. When I'm working with women on that, a lot of it is discovering their own, what being female means to them, right? Not what it is culturally, and let me fit mm-hmm. into that. But I think when we own our own femininity and our own masculinity too, right? Because we're human. So we have a little bit of that and a little bit of that, or a lot more of this and a little bit less than that. When we tap into it and then we connect our own personality with it, then we're actually shifting. You know, we talk so much, like there's so much about like the norms and the whatever, what is yeah. culturally now accepted and what's not. We can actually shift the societal expectations by owning the fact that we are who we are and bringing that in without trying to change who we are to fit into society's. Yeah.
That sounds like adoptees right there.
Expectation
like
of
trying
us.
To shift and change to, you know, fit into the new reality and family and things like that. And then society is,
yes,
we're constantly trying to educate because there's so much, you know, there's a storyline out there that not necessarily the truth, you know, so we're always fighting against that. So you have worked with adoptees.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like people don't want to know the truth a lot of times, you know. They just don't want to hear it. They want to keep that Disneyland. Oh, this is, yeah, that was so great. But you have worked with adoptees. So what yeah. have you seen in adoptees when reading their energy? What are some of the common things that you're seeing?
So I think the most common thing that I see is that big hole of like, I'm trying to fill this and nothing I'm doing is working. Like, I'm trying to fill this emptiness. And it really doesn't, you know, it works a little bit with, you know, this parent, or it works a little bit with this, you know, loved one, or it works a little bit if I go and, you know, surf, or, you know, like, but there's still that, like, that emptiness that is usually trying to be filled up and met by, it ends up being like using vices, right? Like mm-hmm. eating, shopping, drugs, sex. Like it's trying to fill that emptiness with something else.
Do you, because we were talking about the uterus a minute ago, do you see that adoptees have a problem with maybe showing up in that energy that you're looking at with that mother bond, and how that affects not only, you know, males, but females in particular that have been adopted? And have you seen like anything with that affecting like their cycles or infertility?
I'm trying to think if that's my first instinct is yes. And I'm trying to think of like an example that I can give you. I think it's the lack of it's if you imagine the uterus, so the uterus is an energy, right? And then what we do is we have cords, right? We have cords that we connect. Some are good cords, love cords, and some are kind of dirty, yucky cords. And so if you've gone your whole life trying to connect these cords to different places to see what catches and what feeds you mm-hmm. correctly, right? You're starting to, and you've never cleaned them out. You've never gone in and been like, okay, let me yeah. cut some of these off, or, you know, do a little washing. It's, those cords are still feeding you, right? So there's like cruddy energy coming in from all the places that you've tried to attach yourself to. And that can come up for women in sexual, for women specifically, through sexual abuse, whether it's happened to them or they've self-inflicted it. And sexual abuse doesn't need to be dramatic, right? It doesn't have to mean like you've something super intense. It could be that you just didn't honor your body in the way that you needed to be honored, or respect your body in the way you needed to be respected. And so you, and you were just trying out wherever you could, you're just looking for love. You're looking
good,
for, and it's not even love, it's connection. You're looking for that, right? So how does that affect your uterus, right? It could be crampy. It can be bloated. It can be that you're gushing every time you have your period. It could be actually the opposite. It could be that you have missed periods because you're holding on so tight because now you're in so much fear.
Wow. How do you work with someone that maybe has had a hysterectomy? I mean, how does that affect?
So it's very similar because we still have that, that energetic uterus is still there. So you're still work where I still work with, I actually have several clients with who've had a hysterectomy and it's still there. I actually worked with, I have a gay male client and we've also worked with his energetic
his female
uterus.
Energy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So energy is just, it's incredible how, when you start seeing it, how it shows up, it's so cool.
How do you approach, because you probably do kind of an intake when you get a client, how do you approach medical history when you're talking with an adoptive client that's has, you know, a closed record and unknown biology?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question because so much of Western medicine, right, is based on tell us your history, right? We pay so much attention to genetics. And part of the difference in doing energy work, and you probably have experienced this with your clients too, it's looking at the person as who they are today, right? And yes, the past definitely has a huge influence, but I look more at epigenetics, so how our environment has actually changed our being and our physiology. And that has a much bigger influence because it's like our genes are there, right, from our blood parents, our biological parents, but they're switches. They're switches all over. And so our environment and our experience of our environment is actually when the switch goes on and off. And so that's more important when I work with somebody than, you know, has your biological parent has cancer or high blood pressure, or it's much more important. And also the people you grew up around influence you so much more than your DNA. I mean, your DNA has a huge impact, right? There's like studies that show you put DNA on the East Coast and DNA on the West Coast and you change the East Coast one and the West Coast one changes as well. So that's part of how energy work can also be supportive, is because you don't, because energy is non-local, I actually don't need to know the person's biological parents in order to tap into that energy and to, if there needs to be, and I've done that work as well. It's called, so that's called surrogate work when you're doing work on behalf of someone else. So tapping into that person's energy and going, do I have permission to, to read you? And you get a very clear yes or no most of the time. And so when it's a clear yes, you can go in and you can work on the behalf of the biological parent. You can work during the birth experience. And it's amazing the things that come up and the healing that is available there.
And my work with somatic mindful guided imagery, it's like, you're going to remember what you need to remember, whether it's from a past life even, or from the womb. You know, in my journeys, I've gone back to the womb and had tremendous healing from that. But what you need to remember or to heal, it'll come up, because that's stored in your essence and in your soul, if you don't want to call it that. All that information's in there. And so if you can just tap into it, it doesn't matter if you remember it or not, your body remembers it. So yeah, that's cool.
Yes, exactly.
So how did you discover that you could read these energy patterns? Was it just from that lady, your mentor? Did you, like, as a child, did you realize that you had some gift of doing that?
As a child, I didn't really realize that. I was, looking back, I can see, you know, like my sensitivity level and my ability to kind of like see things in, I want to use like the word clear, like a clear way. Like I could see different people, like, you know, not right or wrong, right? But like to see everybody's experience through with clarity. But as a child, I never felt, you know, there was never like anything that told me like, oh, this is, you have these abilities. I never felt that way. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I can see it. I learned how to, I think that my mentor taught me how to open up those channels for myself so that I could, and that it was available to me to go in and see it. And once I could, I had that kind of opening, like, oh, welcome in to this world. Then it was like, oh my God, yeah, I can do that. Oh, that's very natural and very easy.
So what are some of the ways, I mean, I guess recognizing the root cause that we were talking about is, you know, part of the healing process. After you recognize the root, is that it? Like, is there something else you need to do after that with what you do, or how do you work with it from there?
So recognizing it is it is actually a really big step, right? Awareness. I like using awareness, acceptance, action, right? So once you realize it, it just that on its own, and you speak it out loud, it's like, it's amazing the changes that could happen. I had a client who, for a year, she had vaginal itching, and she didn't tell me about it. And then she told me about it, and we had like a 10-minute work with it. And the next week, she got on the phone. She was like, I haven't had itching all week. She hasn't mentioned it since. But just the ability to speak it, right? To bring awareness to it, to bring awareness to the challenges is huge. It is really big. And then accepting it, right? So not yet trying to even change it.
That's
and
like
seeing
so
it.
Much
yeah, you know, I mean, my work I feel like too, we're speaking the same language. Yeah, it's seeing it. It's accepting it for what it is without judgment, without trying to push, move, navigate, like, be in it, pause, breathe, feeling. Oh my gosh. So I do a lot of acupressure point holding. So feeling into like the organ that whatever is going on is connected with, and you probably do that in your work as well. And holding your forehead at the same time activates the emotion out of your body. So even, you know, visualizing and feeling into what you're feeling, it helps it move. And then once you've done that, then you can take the action, right? Then you can have a little more, you have clarity, you have, you're in a more focused space, and then you can take some action. You can come up with a plan. And that plan, you know, depending on what it is, can be something that is like a protocol of, you know, let's go through this. You're going to, you know, I love giving homework to my clients. So it's like, you know, you're having joint problems. So divine lubrication, visualize divine lubrication coming into your body. Set a timer for 5 minutes a day or 3 days a week and do that, right? It's like, it can be very simple like that, and it can be very organized. It can look more like a very intense hour-long session of firework and, you know, going back to that experience and reimagining it or feeling and seeing where it is in the body and moving it out and kind of placing it, replacing it with something else. Or it can be very basic and practical of like, you know, go to a 12-step on eating, you know, like go to a 12-step for drug issues. Like there's, it can be something that a person needs that's very like physical, right? It can be imaginary, it can be in our subconscious. We can work there, or it can be something that's very, you know, practical in the day-to-day
life. Just getting society to accept that even those visual imagery pieces can, it sounds so easy, right? And it sounds so woo-woo, but it really works. And just trying to get people, just try it.
It really works. And you feel it very quickly, right? Like once you, when you try it, you can, you feel it very fast.
So tell us some results that you have seen when working with Adoption Constellation clients.
So better connection to their families, whatever they are, whether it's family of choice or family that they that adopted them, way better connection, feeling like I mentioned belonging, feeling the belonging, reducing the addictions. So reducing whether it's food or drugs or alcohol, being able to go into recovery and to notice how those vices are really trying to like to fill that void. I think those are the main, those are like really big, like overall. And then also with moms who adopted the children, having them feel more complete or having them feel less of that, because for moms, actually, one of the biggest things is breast cancer or issues with the breasts, because they're so connected to if the mom adopted because she couldn't have children, for example, right? So there's such a huge connection there of the nurturing and the giving and the in like the energetic, and I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see me, the energetic like inability
in that
to
way,
nurture, which is just not true. But physically the body believes that, right? Like I'm not able to nurture. And so that affects the breasts. And so seeing the changes in women to accept their own ability to nurture, that translates to stop overgiving or enabling, and then taking care of themselves. And when we take care of ourselves, our children have the freedom to live their lives, and they don't feel so like boggled down by us trying to like control, right? Because that's the other side. It's like when you're feeling like you can't do something, then you go into like that overdrive, which ends up being very controlling. And that's very challenging for kids, especially like when they enter that teenage space, and they're, regardless of what family they're in, they're trying to figure out who the heck they are and how to live their lives and what their individualism means. And as parents, our biggest thing that we could do for them is to give them space. And if you're, and when you don't feel that bond, and this is, I'm also speaking from my personal experience raising two kids who I didn't birth, that is so hard because that bond doesn't feel as natural, right? It's, we can tell ourselves all day long that it's natural and that we love these, like, of course we do. Of course we do. But when we come back to nature, right? Like we come back to biology, it's not a natural cord. It's a cord that we've created, we've put in, by choice. It makes it stronger in a different way, right? But it's, we still have the fear that it's gonna go, that at any point it could break, or at any point it could detach. And so we're trying even harder, and that actually makes it harder for them to connect with us and for us to connect with them.
Yeah. Have you worked with any birth mothers that have given their child up for adoption? I'm just wondering.
Oh, with birth mothers who've given them? No, I haven't.
Because that would be some work, I think.
Yes.
That would be interesting. Yes.
That I have not done, and I would be happy to. Yeah.
So what does a session look like with you? What? How? Where do you start? Like a first session, what does it look like?
So it depends. Sometimes people will come to me with a very specific thing that they want to work on. And then I'll kind of do like a general read or a general scan and go in, okay, so I know that you want to work on this issue. Let me kind of check where, I'll check, where are we in your body? Where is this? Okay, this is happening in your small intestine. So let's just start with holding your small intestine, your forehead, and tell me what comes up, right? And then it it evolves from there. And from there, we'll see what, sometimes it's a person, it's actually very surprising how quickly people, once they have the space to do this work in, they're very quick to go, oh yeah, I actually feel that. Oh yeah. Oh, this memory is coming up. It's amazing.
It's funny how once you become curious about something, and stop the resistance of that, you know, this is crazy or this isn't going to work, that it works.
Yes.
Who is your ideal client? Like, who would be your ideal client and who would benefit the most from working with you?
Ooh. I think people who want more meaning, people who are looking to be the better parents, better members of society by taking care of themselves, by paying attention to what are their needs, what are their, and how to meet those needs for themselves, who want to really, who are ready to learn that and ready to take responsibility. I think that's a huge part, right? Like self-responsibility is so big because you're, and it sounds like in your work too, the person is so, our clients are integrated into the work, right? They're not coming to somebody who's going to like, I'm not going to put my hands on you. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to like just do something for you so that you feel better. I'm going to work with you to discover together how you're going to, what you need so that you can be in a better place, so you can move towards healing, and you have to show up. So I guess my ideal client is somebody who is willing to do the work, who wants to show up for themselves. It doesn't just want somebody to like wave their wand or sprinkle their fairy. I will use my fairy dust.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's what we learned from traditional medicine, right?
Yes, yes.
The fairy dust is some pill or something and you feel better. Yeah. So why can't, you know? But yeah, it's definitely a co-creation.
Yes.
I know with my work, it's a co-creation. But what I love about it, and it sounds like it's the same for you, I love showing people their innate power to heal themselves.
Yes.
They don't get that.
Well said.
They don't understand that power.
It is huge.
That they have.
That is, and that isn't all of us. Like you said, it's an innate power. It's in all of us.
Yeah. And like you said, the healing part is your responsibility.
Yes.
You know, maybe what happened to you, you had no control over, but you do have control over and a responsibility to heal and live that life that you want to live.
Absolutely.
That's your responsibility. And so
I do believe in contracts. I believe that before we came here, we all made a decision of how we want to do this, who we want to be with, what families, what experiences.
Yeah.
And some of us choose some pretty hard experiences. And there's a reason for that. I really believe there's a reason for that. And we find our power through it. And, you know, all for, like, good for you if you chose that really, really, really hard path.
I know, right?
And then there's people like us who will help you.
Yeah. There's so many people that, you know, in the adoptee community specifically, that say, I would never choose to be adopted. I did not choose this, you know, and I just don't respond because I believe different and they can believe what they, you know, that's fine. But there's a lot of people that just totally don't think that's the truth, that you've signed these
and
contracts.
And I think part of why we have a fear around believing that's the truth is because then we feel like it's the victim. It's being in that victim space of like, oh, you're saying it's my fault. Well, no, I'm saying that you have power here. I'm saying you take responsibility for something, you have the power to shift it. You are all powerful. And so if you just say, oh, I chose this, I get to do something about this.
Yeah.
It is so empowering then to move through life that way. Right. Rather than
change your mindset.
Somebody put me in this position and I would have never chosen this.
Right. Yeah. Do you ever get clients that, you know, and some of them that are so blown away by what's coming up for them in a session that it's overwhelming to them?
Yes.
And it actually scares them.
Yes. And sometimes it looks like sometimes I can feel that it's coming so that, you know, I'll be a little gentler. Sometimes I can't help myself. And it can sometimes look, sometimes they're very honest and they're, you know, they'll be like, okay, I need a second. Like, that was a lot. Let me process this. Sometimes there's resistance and they're like, you know, they'll either change the subject or, you know, just, you can really tell they weren't ready to go there. I've had a client, kind of fire me after many, 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 many years of working together.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was just too much. What I said was too much. And, you know, it's, and that's okay too. That's okay too.
Yeah. Sometimes it does take time to process what's been revealed to you, you know, and to actually let that heal a little bit before you're ready to peel the next layer.
Yes.
So I think if you ask most people if they want to heal, of course they would say, well, yeah, you know, but in my opinion and experience, that journey can be pretty overwhelming a lot of times. And like I said, we're not just giving you a pill to cover it up. So I think people are still looking for that immediate, you know, feel good. How do you help people work through that feeling of that it might take time to unpeel this onion, you know?
I think I am gentle in my ways. There are some people who want to rush, and so then I'll slow them down and kind of explain that, like, okay, let's take this one step at a time. And for those people, I like to have them set their own goals and then bring them back to that goal, because a lot of the time when you're doing this kind of work, you know, so much other stuff comes up. And so if we have something specific that they're working towards, then it's easier for me to then just be like, okay, just a second, we can come back to those other things, but you've asked me to focus on this thing, so let's stay focused on this thing. And then when we do that, they can see their own results quicker because we're pinpointing to something specific. What I've noticed is actually people prefer to go slower in a way, and kind of like you said, with the layers of the onion, like slow, like peel the layers slowly.
Because sometimes if they come to you with, I want to deal with this issue. Sometimes there's a few other layers that need to come off before you can get to that issue, you know?
Of course.
And I feel like, you know, inside of us, we know what those steps are to get to that spot that we want to get to. And sometimes it is kind of going around a different way, but eventually it'll get there.
And there are people who come and, you know, because the our first session had, they thought they were getting one thing, you know, I'm going to heal my arthritis. And we've worked on something that is, like you're saying, the steps to it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, I didn't feel any, you know, I felt something change, but I'm still having stiffness, so I'm not going back. You know, some people expect this, like, immediacy of, like,
Yeah, of feeling some change.
Yeah.
What do you say to people that are actually afraid to heal and want to stay in that long-term suffering spot?
Not much.
What can you say, right? You want to stay there.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's just kind of like listening. Because some people just really need to be heard.
Yeah.
And meeting people where they are at is important. I've had people who, you know, have been in that state, and I noticed that they weren't coming out of it after a while, and I've let them go. I've said, you know, this is not going anywhere. You know, you'd be better off going to talk therapy or doing something else that, you know, kind of meets you where you're at and guiding them in that direction.
I've heard of people that, you know, say, I've tried everything and nothing ever works for me. And it's like, well, probably nothing's going to work for you because you've already,
it's your mindset,
that program in your brain that nothing's going to work for you.
Of course.
Let's not think that way anymore. Kind of in closing, what would you like struggling adoptees and others in the adoption triad to know?
Ooh, I was thinking about that, and now it's, I know what I want them to know. Well, I think it's part of what we just said. So the choice, I think that is such a big thing, right? Taking responsibility and owning that we all choose our path. We all choose why we're here. And there is something really incredible. One of the archetypes, I was, you know, playing with like the theme, and I've noticed that different people or groups of people have similar archetypes, like people, women specifically with chronic health problems seem to have the mystic archetype on their chart. And the archetype that came up for adoptees is the liberator or the messiah, which is such a powerful archetype, right? Those are such messiah, liberator, they're such powerful archetypes. And archetypes have shadow and light, right? And so, and essentially they're neutral, right? It's all how we look at them and how we play with them and how we're experiencing them. Those archetypes have the potential to free you or your environment, your community from this, the roots that hold some people down, right? You have the space to go free, to liberate from previous generations, from previous beliefs, conditioning. So I think that I think what I love people to take away from this is taking responsibility for your experience and then playing with the idea of what is you being a liberator in your life look like? How does that add, like having that frequency of liberation, what does that feel and look like when you add that into your world?
Do you do these charts? Do you offer that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I might do that.
I'd be happy to do your chart.
So if someone wants to work with you, how do they find you, more about you and all that stuff? Do you have a website?
Yeah. So my website is quantumdoctoror.com. And I'm also on Instagram a little bit as quantumdoctoror. And I offer one-on-one sessions. I also offer some group classes through my Intuitive Heart Institute, which I do with my partner, Connie. We offer some archetype classes there. And that's a great way to kind of like work with others in group settings.
Yeah. Well, I hope someone listening resonates with what we've talked about today and becomes curious about some of these holistic and alternative healing modalities and gets in touch with you. I really feel like those modalities are showing great effectiveness and promise in the adoptee community. So I just want to appreciate your work and what you're doing and working with adoptees and helping them heal that primal wound and just working with the adoptee community. I thank you for that. And thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
What an amazing conversation. And I'm always amazed at the capacity that we have to heal ourselves. We have that capacity within us. And if you're tired of putting that Band-Aid on and you want to get true healing, truly, this kind of healing is the gift that you give yourself, and it's so important. And I'm talking to females now, too. If you are having problems with PMS, your cycles, infertility, please get in touch with Dr. Orr. Go to her website and see what she is doing and the results that she's getting. You can get in touch with her there. The link to her website and other social media is in the show notes. If you are interested in somatic modalities, go to somatichealingjourneys.com and see what I've been up to and learn a little bit more about that. Get in touch with me. We do free 15-minute discovery calls to see if it's right for you. As always, take what you need and leave what you don't. And always remember to mind your own karma. And I'll see you next time.